We're back in Philippians chapter 2, and I want us to look today at two verses, really, but this is the introduction to it because we were looking at letting this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. We were looking at the call of God for us to live like Christ lived, to live in absolute humility and in holiness. And that's an incredibly high calling, a calling that is so deep that to meet it is almost like, how can this be done? Because this is what he says. You be like Christ. You be like Christ. Man, that is something. Who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation. He took the form of a bondservant, a love slave, came in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, those in heaven, those on earth, and those under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, we've been through this passage twice already, but what I wanted to remind you was the humble steps that Jesus took. The steps of obedience, and sometimes they were difficult steps. Sometimes they were steps, and they were many a time. He had to go through such grief. He was called a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And my challenge to you today is to follow the Lord. My challenge to follow the Lord wholeheartedly. My challenge today is not to skirt it, not to come short, not to be in a place where you allow little things to creep in and you allow sin to show up. Because here's what he says in Philippians 2:12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That's an interesting words to use. And I can tell you that if you go back to the original Greek, it says fear and trembling. And so when we read this passage, he says, he starts with the position of obedience. He says, just as you've obeyed when I've been with you, even more, obey when I'm not with you. In other words, don't be obedient to the Lord because I'm there. You get that? Don't be obedient to the Lord because I'm there. It's like just recently I was with somebody and they, you know, let a curse go. And they says, I'm sorry, Pastor, Reverend. And you know what I tell them usually when that happens? I says, listen, God hears you all the time. It's not about me. Not at all. And so when it comes to walking with God, when it comes to serving the Lord, it must be always and all the time. It isn't just because people are watching. It isn't because of what the circumstances are around us. It's because we were called to obedience regardless of the circumstances. And that's a challenge. And so he actually says here, much more, he said, in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and with trembling. No drum. So this is what he calls us to do. He says to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. What does that mean? Anybody? Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Yes? Take it seriously. Okay, that's for sure. Especially when you see the words fear and trembling. What's that?
He's just.
God is just? Okay. So what does this mean, work out your salvation? Start there. What does that mean? Are we saved by our works?
No.
You're sure?
I'm sure.
Okay. How do you know?
Yes.
Does this sound like you are?
No.
What does this say?
Work out your salvation.
What does that mean, work out your salvation?
Does it mean that when you have the gift of salvation,
yes,
it requires a response.
Okay.
In the way you act.
Okay. So. Yep. All right. So, but how do you know you don't work for your salvation?
You already have it.
Is there any verse you can give me?
John 3:16.
Okay. Going to the Lord in prayer.
Believe in the Lord.
Okay. And you shall be saved. Not work in for the Lord to be saved.
But further on it says, for it is God who works in you.
Yes. Yes, that's very true. The second part of the verse says something about God working in us. So that's the promise part. The first part's the challenge. The second part's the promise. But here's a verse. Let's look at this for a second and see what does this say. It says that by grace you are saved. You've been saved through faith. And it's not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It is not of works. Do you see that? You're not saved by your works. Because if you were, then you could boast. You could get to heaven and say, boy, I did a lot of neat stuff, and that's what got me into heaven. Right? You can't do that. There's no boasting, because who do we boast in? The Lord, not ourselves, right? So he says, it's by grace. Grace is undeserved favor that saves you through faith, by believing. Somebody's already, I think Gord mentioned that. It is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. You do not work for a gift, do you? No, you can't work for a gift. And it is not of works, lest anyone should boast. So that verse makes it clear that you are not saved by your works. But this verse says that we are to work out our salvation. And so what happens in is that God brings salvation in. It is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. God puts salvation in, and as we work salvation out. So it's like Anne mentioned, salvation has come within me, but it needs to be worked out in my life. Does that make sense? It needs to be practically worked out in my experience in life. Every day I need to work out what God has put in. Now, how does that work? Okay. And I think Leonard mentioned something there that has to do with that. But it is important for us to understand that it says here to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, why does it say fear and trembling? What it's saying here is God wants holiness in your life, right? God wants you to walk a holy life. He wants you to be careful about what you do. And he wants you to be that careful that you are taking this very seriously, how you live your Christian life. So is it okay then to let stuff slide by in your life? No. Is it okay to have a little sin, a little corner, a little this, a little that, a little swearing doesn't hurt, a little bit of this doesn't hurt, a little bit of that? Is that okay? No. We should work out our salvation with fear and trembling, in the respect that we are careful every day. We are in awe of Almighty God. We understand the discipline of the Lord, because if you belong to God, then he'll discipline you some way, somehow. We understand that he's the one that's in charge, and we need to take sin extremely seriously, because that's what it says here. Does that mean that we can't have joy in our life? No, of course not. It means that we are looking and being very careful about what we say. We are watchful with our lips, with our eyes, with our conduct. And if we aren't, we will experience something. God will do something with us. If we belong to him, he's going to do something about it. And it's because God is working in you. And that's where the promise comes. But I want to dwell, first of all, on the challenge, and then we'll go to the promise. The challenge is that God is calling you to, not in hypocrisy, not in pretense, but in reality, live a holy life in the sight of God and make no provision for sin in your experience. We were studying Psalm 101:3 on Wednesday night Bible study. I challenge you, come to Bible study when you can. Come and learn together, because one of the things that stood out in this entire psalm was this: take sin very seriously. Do you remember, those of you who were there? Take sin very seriously. Look what it says in Psalm 103. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. That is the work of those who turn away from God. A perverse heart shall depart from me. I will not know wickedness. Whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will destroy. The one who has a haughty look and a proud heart, him I will not endure. My eyes shall be on the faithful of the land. They may dwell with me. He who walks in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He who works deceit shall not dwell within my house. He who tells lies shall not continue continue my presence. Early will I destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all the evildoers from the city of the Lord. Wow, I mean, this is serious stuff. He lists sin and says, this cannot be. You cannot live in sin and serve the Lord. And so we are challenged in that way. And look at the challenge that Jesus Christ himself gives us. Jesus said this, you have heard of, it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. I missed the verse there. But I say to you, whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than your whole body is cast into hell. Now he's talking about sin, isn't he? Now he's laying it on. I know different ones have said to me, you talk about sin a lot. The Bible talks about sin a lot. And here's what he says. This is the challenge that he gives here to the people that he was speaking to. This was not all Christians here. This was the multitudes. And he was warning them of how serious sin is, how serious God takes sin. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. It's more profitable that your members perish than your whole body is cast in hell. Now, is Jesus going around teaching people to pull their eyes out and cut their hands off? No. What is he telling them? Be diligent and be extreme when it comes to sin. Don't allow it in your life. Don't tolerate a corner of sin in your experience. Is that easy to do? No, it's not. God's calling you to a holy life. I've shared this story with you before. But one morning, God was calling me to go to prayer. And I was ready to go to prayer. I knew the Lord wanted me to spend time with him in prayer. But that morning, I wanted to go fishing. And at that time, I was fishing trout in the Margaree River below my place. So I didn't have far to go. I just put my boots on, waders on, go down the river. And the struggle was on. No, I knew the Lord wanted me to pray. I says, okay, I'm going to go fishing for a while because I really want to go fishing. I haven't gone fishing in a while, and I'm going to go fishing, and then I'll pray afterwards. Now, you might say, well, that's okay with God. No, it's not okay. If the Lord tells you to do something, do it. Work it out in your life. Be obedient to God. So I went down to the river. I had my waders on, and I get in the river, in the middle of the river. This is in the summertime or spring. It was after fishing. Gaspro fishing, so I'm going down fly fishing down the river, and you know, I can walk almost down the middle of the river fishing, and literally I was pounding the water with that fly rod, and not one fish would take a bite. I think I got one that long, and I was disgusted, but I'm fishing. I want to go fishing, and I just kept on going. You ever get stubborn? I got stubborn. I'm going to keep fishing. And I fished down to Teddy Carl's, which is probably a mile, maybe a mile and a half of river, walking down, all the way down, not one fish, but I kept on going. And I got down below, and the river was still fairly high. So when I got to, there's a place where the river came in, went down, and there was a deep hole there, and it went right under the bank. And it was a big mud bank, and it went right underneath, probably from here to Heather, underneath the bank, like that. It was a washed out, and it was deep. It was well over your head in that hole. But above the hole, there was maybe that much water, and I'm walking in the river all the time, but fast water, but I'm cross over everywhere. So I looked at it, and I says, I think I can get across there, because I can't fish that from this side. I got to get across, and then I can fish and, you know, get right down in that hole with my line. So across the river I go, step, and all of a sudden, my feet start going, and whoosh, I'm carried away down into the deep hole with a pair of waders on. And that's a dangerous thing, because if water gets in your waders, you go down. So here I am, in the hole, trying to swim with the waders on, and my feet suddenly go underneath the bank. How do I get out of this? And the current is strong, it's turning like this, and there's a root sticking up here from this rotten bank, and I'm holding onto the root, and guess what I'm doing now?
Praying.
I'm praying.
Now you're praying
in the river. I'm praying, yeah. Something changed, right? I wasn't praying before. I was fishing. Now I'm praying and I'm not fishing. I'm asking God, can you get me out of this? Because if I got sucked underneath there, I would likely be there till I was found and drowned. And I knew that. And so I was saying, Lord, make this root hold. And the effort to get out of that hole, I can tell you, with your feet swinging, swept underneath, was not easy. And the pieces were coming off. But I managed to crawl up on the bank. Do you think I went back to doing a little more fishing?
No.
I ran for home. And I spent the rest of the day in prayer. There was some fear and trembling that day, right? God can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, because he's God. And I want to encourage you to listen to the voice of God. Now, there are obvious things. In that case, you might say, well, how do you know God wanted you to pray? I just knew. But there are a lot of things that are very obvious. God doesn't want you to commit adultery. God doesn't want you to have sex before marriage. It is always sin. It will always be sin. And God's not changing his mind about it. Whether the world all thinks it's cool and it's okay, it's not. God doesn't want us to be involved in anything that is unholy or unrighteous. He doesn't want us swearing. He doesn't want us with jealousy or hatred. He doesn't want us gossiping about somebody else. And I'll just qualify that. You know, sometimes we think gossip is telling something that's not true about somebody. No, it's not. That may not be the case. Gossip is talking about other people in an ill manner of any kind. And so God wants us to deal with sin seriously. And if you're truly his, if you're truly saved, and you don't deal with sin in your life, he'll deal with you. He'll discipline you. He'll do whatever he needs to do to bring you around to where you need to be. And that's love and mercy and grace. Surely every one of us as children at times have experienced a little fear and awe in our parents when we've done the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Have we ever done?
Yeah.
Well, that's the same idea here. But does that mean that you hate your parents? No. It means you love your parents. You do love your parents. But at the same time, you understand that they're in charge. And when you go down the wrong path, you can face some consequences for it. So actually, with Psalm 101 on Wednesday night, as we were going through this, I was asking the Lord, Lord, show me, is there any sin that I need to be deal with in my life? And you know what? The Lord gave me one. Do you know what it was? Speeding in my car. But that's just a little sin, right?
No.
Is it?
No.
It's a sin.
Is it really?
Yes.
Really?
Yes, care.
And the Lord reminded me, he says, I own the car, I own you. And I can do whatever I want, you know. So, yeah, he can, can't he? Now, I can't say from that point on that I didn't speed, because I did. But I could feel the weight of it. And the funny thing is when I struck a bear at the Grand Falaise on Friday night, I really was just maybe a little over 80, and when the speed limit there was 80. So I wasn't really speeding then, but I was before that, right? So I can say, well, Lord, you know, you shouldn't have brought that bear out there because I wasn't speeding right at that moment. But you see, I didn't take sin quite as seriously as I should. God will allow you to get away with it for a while because he's very merciful, but finally he'll say, I've had enough. So, here's a bear for you. What do you want to do about that? So, what can I say? I say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the bear. Thank you for whatever happens, because you're God and you have a right to do what you want with me. My life is not mine. The van's not mine. The car's, nothing is mine. And if I'm going to sin in those little areas, there are no little areas, but in my mind there has been, then I'm going to reap the consequences of it. So I'm putting myself on notice, not only in myself, but in front of you, that challenge me if the speedometer starts to climb. My wife does that all the time anyway. But challenge me, because I don't want to have a hindrance in my life. And who knows what kind of hindrance it can be if I'm doing something wrong. It may seem like a little thing, but it is not a little thing. So have some fear and trembling in the sight of Almighty God in your walk. If you know areas in your life where there's sin, yes?
You can also ask the Holy Spirit to convict us when we do wrong, when we sin.
That's true. And we can ask him to keep speaking even when we're not listening.
Yeah.
Yes, because sometimes he does convict us, but we can ignore it. But yes, and he does that. He does send conviction. He did for me on Wednesday night as I opened the Word of God. And that's where you'll often find the truth about a matter, is as you open God's Word and as you're praying, God will often speak, but sometimes we'll crowd out his voice as well. But let me encourage all of us in all of our weaknesses, because all of us are weak and all of us struggle. But do not use the fact that we are weak to make an excuse to keep on sinning. If you do, you'll guess what you'll do? Keep on sinning. And then the Lord may bring other measures into the matter, because he does bring his disciplines upon his people. But it's because he loves us. You know, as a matter of fact, it actually teaches in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 in the Bible that Christians who were continually sinning, and they were sinning in their attitude towards other believers, that God actually took them out of this world. He says, okay, you're not going to dishonor me in this world. You're mine, but I'm not keeping you here because you're making a mess of things. I'm taking you out. However he does that, it says they actually died. They actually died. That's what it tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Listen, following God is no joke. These are consequences. God looks at sin seriously. He always takes it seriously, and he deals with it, and he will deal with it in our own lives. And so we see, as we look at this passage, I want to get to the promise here too, because this is pretty heavy stuff, isn't it? So, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and with trembling. And now we come to the promise. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. It is God working in you. Now, there's the hope. Because when you look at the high calling of God, when you look at the challenge to live a holy life, and you look at how easy it is to sin, how easy it is to look away from the Lord, how easy it is not to be a man or a woman of faith and trusting God and living in dependence, because the Bible says whatever is not of faith is sin. If I'm not praying and reading God's Word, I'm sinning, because God calls me to do that. So it's easy to sin, isn't it? So how in the world can I overcome? How can I live a holy life? It is because God is working in us to will and to do for his good pleasure. He is working in us to will and to do. He is the one that's able to accomplish this. It is God's power, not yours. And that's where the relief comes. Because I understand that when I choose to do the wrong thing, when I sin, I need to repent of it. But I also need to understand I need your grace, Lord, to live righteously. I need you to drive my car. I need you to take my mind. I need you to do the living in me and through me. If I don't do that, then I will be sinning. So the relief to be able to live the Christian life, to work out your salvation, you need God who's working in. So God works in, and then you can work out. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Now, when it says to work it out, it doesn't mean that you're doing this on your own. It means that God who's working in you to accomplish it. See, he works in you both to will, that is, the will to do it, right? Because sometimes you find you have the will to do it, but how to perform it, you find not. But he has the will and to do both. So he has the will for it, and he also has the ability to make it happen. So that I can live victoriously. I can overcome sin. I can move forward in my experience. I want to challenge you, as I'm challenging myself today, that he is more than able to accomplish these things in our lives. It is he that does it, and he does it for his good pleasure. But when it says he does it for his good pleasure, he's not saying that in a selfish manner, because it is a good pleasure of God that you walk with him, that you have fellowship with him, that the joy that was set before Jesus when he went to the cross was to win you to himself, that his good pleasure is that you experience holiness in your life, that you experience righteousness, that you become useful for the kingdom of God in winning others to Christ and in loving others. Don't allow sin to make a hindrance of that, because sin will hinder you and it will hinder every other believer. And that's important for us to understand. It will cause trouble in us, in our hearts, and in our church. So my challenge to you is to live a holy life. But the way you're going to do it is by relying on God. It's God who does it. It is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Oh, I'm sad. That's such a relief. Because you could make a thousand promises to God about what you're going to do for him, and you'll find out that you'll break those if it's all in your own strength. But if you're willing to lay down your life, if you're willing to say, Lord, search me, try me, show me if there's any wicked way in me. And as he reveals it to you, if you're willing to say, now, Lord, you do the living in me. You do this, oh God. You work to will and you work to do in me. And he will. He will. Because that's exactly what it says that he will do. Because we have such promises. Promises that are given to us so that we might understand that it is God who does this work. Romans 8:28 says this, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are the called according to his purpose. That God is working all things for the good. And that he even takes the times when we sin and we go in the wrong direction and he turns it around and he brings some good out of it. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. In other words, God planned that you'll be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And so that, because he's the firstborn among many brothers. Those he predestined, he called. Those he calls, he justifies. Those he justifies, these he also glorifies. What it says here is from beginning to end, God is the one who's at work here. He's working to will and to do in you. In the process of that, he's calling you to trust him and to live in repentance. But remember, the overall, God is at work, and that he'll get you where he wants you to be. Just sometimes you're coming kicking and screaming instead of cooperating. You know how it is sometimes. Babies come kicking and screaming. I don't want to. I don't want to. I don't want to. Is that true?
Yeah. Yes.
But who's got their hand? The mother, the father's got their head. They're coming whether they don't want to or they do want to. But they come kicking and screaming. Or they can say, yes, mommy, yes, daddy, yes, papa, and come along nicely. But either way, who's going to win? It should be the parents. Sometimes parents give in, right? But it should be the parents. But isn't it much sweeter when we're not going coming kicking and screaming? Listen, as God's people, we should not be coming to kicking and screaming all the time. We should be saying, yes, Papa, yes, Daddy, I'll do what you say. I'll trust you. I'll give myself to you completely in every way. So what can we say to these things? If God's for us, who can be against us? God's for you. He's not against you. And even in the fear and trembling part, it's only where sin is lying at the door and we need to deal with it, that we will take it seriously. Right? He did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? I can trust that God is good. Who will bring a charge against God's elect? It's God who justifies us. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, furthermore is risen, is at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. This is all God's care here. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we're killed all day long, we're counted like sheep for the slaughter. This is quoting the persecution of believers in the Old Testament. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels or principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So there is absolute, complete care from God. Do you get that?
Yeah.
Absolute, complete care. I don't want you to miss that. But I want you to understand, in the midst of that absolute, complete care, we can cooperate with God. Or we can come kicking and screaming. But if you're really the Lord's, he's going to get you there. He will accomplish it. But some people seem to want to learn the hard way, right? And I can say I'm one of those. Many times I had to learn the hard way to trust God. But either way, I want to encourage you now, today, examine your heart. If there's any sin there, don't mess with it, deal with it. Take it seriously, understand how much of a hindrance it can bring to your life and the lives of others, and immediately confess it to God and look to Him for the strength and power in Him to forsake it and walk forward. Whoever confesses and forsakes their sin will find mercy. So go in that direction. Take sin seriously and deal with it so that you can go on in the glory of God and know the blessed promises and live in the reality as you humbly depend upon the Lord moment, one moment at a time. It's not too late for that in our lives. This is the moment we have to say, yes, Lord, I surrender everything to you. Let's close with a song called I Surrender All. Yep. Let's stand and sing. Make this your prayer today. Oh, to Jesus I surrender all. To Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender.
Surrender. blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Okay, let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you and we pray. Give us surrendered hearts, Lord, that we might walk in the joy of salvation, that we might be, Lord, in one sense, just trembling when it comes to sin, that when we see it, we run from it as fast as we can into your loving arms. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.